ladies and gentlemen, we're just laughing at the absurdity of these people. Like Klaus Schwab.
Telling us we need to listen to each other and follow our heart.
Just, the whole thing's absurd. Let's get the crew said they found the clip. Hopefully it's not inappropriate. This is from a show called Venture Others. This fits perfectly. Let's go to it.
Who the hell are you?
Dr. Henry Kissinger.
Wait.
Here, give this to the lovely woman. And this is for you. Mr. the Monarch's journal. His love for you is spelled out on every page. And there are some very nice drawings also.
That's private!
Love is not private. Love is to be shared. I have locked you in. Neither of you may leave until you have reached compromise. Good luck, and may love show you the way. Say goodbye to all your pretty children for me.
Yeah, that's basically, if y'all don't watch the Venture Bros, we could bring it down now. But yeah, it's all like that. He's clearly just an evil villain, but he's always just like, you must follow your heart and love everyone. That's Klaus Schwab now. He's made the turn. It's amazing. It really is. All right. We're going to stop joking around now, though we weren't really joking, just laying out for you. And you'll see from now on, if you're paying attention that first hour, you will see from now on how many statements from the world elite perfectly align with the hack attack scenario, where they are now telling you, well, everything's kind of, you know, collapsing. We got to separate. We got to each go our own way. You know, we got to focus on, you know, smaller deals, not the bigger ones. Again, the way that they're no longer concerned with climate change, they're now, you know, building AI facilities as fast as they possibly can. It's all in line with a greater strategic timeline. And this is an info war. And I'm basically giving you like the latest troop movements here, essentially. So we've beaten them back. We have defeated them. They have failed to capture their primary targets. And so they're going to their secondary and tertiary targets, which is good. Again, we did defeat them, but they're not going to stop and they're not going to slow down. They're just changing their tactics. But as we've said the entire time I've been on here, this is the thing about the globalists. This is what you have to understand about the conspiracy that we report on. Make no mistake, it's a single conspiracy. It might seem separate. Might seem like all these things have different people involved for different concerns. It's not. It is a singular, monolithic, global conspiracy to create a one-world government and live forever. That's the goal of these people, and that's it in a nutshell. However, that doesn't mean that they are gods. They are not magic. They are not Dr. Henry Killinger. They cannot fly away with an umbrella. They cannot dictate reality. Reality exists whether they like it or not. They have great control. They have a supremely well-designed and well-tested strategy of dictating the reality of the American people, of framing their perspective of what's going on. But at the end of the day, they're human beings, and they have to contend with human will. And as long as enough people, enough Americans in particular, stand up to them, refuse to go along with them, at the very least are aware of and make others aware of the real intentions behind some of their stated plans, then they have to change their plans to deal with that. A lot of people get so far down the rabbit hole, they drink, you know, the Kool-Aid so much that they have trouble believing anything is real. Everything has to be fake. Anything good, oh, that's just they're pretending to do something for us, to trick us so they can do more evil to us. No, sometimes people are good. Some people are good. Some actions are real. Some things you see on TV are actually exactly as presented. Finding, you know, where that line is and being able to pursue the truth without going off the trail, that's the real skill, and that's what we've honed here at InfoWars. We'll get into what's happening in Minneapolis on the other side. Don't go anywhere. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Alex Jones lights the fuse, and Harrison Smith keeps it roaring. This is the War Room.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. Let's talk about what's going on in Minnesota, shall we? As we see the world deliberately being made less safe, deliberately creating the strife and conflict that powers to be are eager to take advantage of to expand their control, their global information sieve through which nothing passes except what they want to be heard. Army readies 1,500 soldiers for possible Minnesota deployment, according to sources. Justice Department is also investigating the shameful anti-ICE protest that upended Minnesota church service. And this was just the latest in a weekend of pretty astonishing and violent action from the protesters, so-called protesters in Minneapolis. I mean, Jake Lang got beaten. A guy that happened to look like Jake Lang was beaten and possibly stabbed. You've got Nick Sortor having his phone stolen. I mean, everybody that I know that's been there to report on this has been attacked. Except I guess, Wood Lyman. I don't know. I guess Wood Lyman had, well, should I even say that? Wood Lyman's not there. Don't worry about it. He's somewhere else. And during all of this, none other than Don Lemon, the sort of poster child for, you know, pathetic mainstream media irrelevance without being propped up by a corporate news structure. The man can hardly get triple digits on his live streams, but he's decided to inject himself and participate in the riotous activity in coordination with the people carrying out the raid on the church, and has therefore violated federal law and put the crosshairs firmly on himself. And he's trying to lie about it in the most hilarious way. I mean, it's we have you on video, dude. So he storms this church. He makes a video before they storm the church about how they're going to storm the church. Then they storm the church. Then Harmeet Dillon says, yeah, we're looking at, you know, violations of the FACE Act because they attacked a church. And Don Lemon's like, I had no idea they attacked a church. Dude, you're on video saying that you know what they're doing. It's just one of a great number. I guess add it to the pile of things that we've seen leftists do, that we've seen Democrats do, that just isn't being punished. And we'll get back to this on the other side, because the only response I've seen from the right wing has been demands for Pam Bondi to do something, or Harmeet Dillon to do something, or anybody in the Trump administration to do literally anything. And it comes across to me as a example of learned helplessness. Like, we are sitting here appealing to, crying out to, praying to people that have never done what they've needed to do. Why are we asking them? And what are the other options? I think we need to be considering this. But here, let's go to Don Lemon. Let's go to the video we were just showing here, clip number 11. Here's the side-by-side, the before and the after. Rather, I guess this is the after and then the before. But this is Don Lemon lying about everything. Let's watch.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests. Once the protests started in the church, we did an act of journalism.
They're getting the operation together again. This is an operation that is a secret, that they invited folks out. Can't tell you what is going to happen, but you're going to watch it live unfold here on the Don Lemon Show. There are this, for this reason, looks, the for this reason, it may look like MAGA coded, but there's a reason they have so many white people here. I'm just going to be honest. It's because of the operation that they're doing today. It's important to have allies, as they said, white allies here. So that is what I could say. I turned our camera off of them because they're giving some critical information here. But there we go. Everybody's ready to go. Let's go. Okay. Thank you guys for being. Thanks for allowing me to be here. Thank you guys.
Okay.
How are you?
Good.
Good to see you. We're on. We're not saying what it is, what's going on, but thank you. Tell us why you're doing this.
So
this is Nakima Levy Armstrong. She's on the show on Friday.
Nakima Levy Armstrong, civil rights attorney, longtime activist here in the community. And, you know, we protest and do activism in all kinds of ways. This is Operation Pull Up, more of a clandestine operation. We show up somewhere that is a key location. They don't expect us to come there. And then we disrupt business as usual. So that's what we're about to go do right now.
So again, what? How did you not know what they were going to do? So, I mean, right there, he just provides for the federal court absolute proof of foreknowledge that he was actually helping to coordinate with them. He knew what they were talking about, so he moved away so he wouldn't find out about it. He kisses the organizer on the cheek, clearly in cahoots with her. And then afterwards, it's like, I had no idea what was going on. I was there as a journalist. I was there as a journalist covering things. Let's not pass by the fact that he said they're using white people as human shields. I'm sorry, let's not pass over the fact that these delusional idiots must believe their own crap. I mean, to a certain extent, the white people at least must genuinely believe the lies they've been told about racial privilege in this country, and it's going to get them killed. It already got one woman killed, and it's got a lot of women pepper sprayed, and got one woman got her eye blown out because these people have been told over and over again that white people have privilege, that white people can interact with the cops in a confrontational way, and that the cops will allow them to do so, while black men will be murdered for doing such a thing. It's literally exact opposite, because police officers know that if they don't treat black people with kid gloves and something goes wrong, they're going to be given the Derek Chauvin treatment, railroaded through a show trial and then locked away with a bunch of people who've been told that you're a white supremacist who murdered a black guy for fun. So you get beaten and stabbed in jail. They don't want that to happen. They know that. They're aware of that. And they change their actions to comport with that. And so they're way less likely to do anything to a black person or a Hispanic person that would be violent if it's not necessary. White people, however, don't have that protection because we actually are the least privileged people in this country at this point. And so you have some fat, dumbass housewife trying to run up and like punch an ICE agent, and she just gets tased and taken down or her eye blown out or whatever it is. It's like, yeah, you idiots. Did you actually think that you had privilege? Did you actually think the cops were going to be like, oh, white woman, better let her abuse us? The glorious white woman. Like, what? So then you've got Don Lemon. There's a reason there's a lot of white people with us today, because otherwise they wouldn't. I mean, white people are good to them as human shields. White women, white people, as long as they're useful to them in being bodies that can be the first ones hit with the bullets if things go south, then they'll permit them to attend the protest. But otherwise, they wouldn't. So he feels the need to explain. It's almost like he's apologizing. Trust me, I know a lot of white people here today, but trust me, they're needed as human shields because of white privilege. They must believe their own crap to a certain degree. Or they're literally just like, yeah, we're going to get white people killed. It's hilarious. I don't know. But I have a feeling. Let's go to clip 39 here. Because again, just reiterate, you just heard him say that we're going to a church. You heard him say they're organizing and, you know, having a confab over there, so we're not going to show it to you. But this is amazing. And here's this woman, kiss her on the cheek, my best friend. Now let's hear him say he had no idea about any of this. Clip 39.
MAGA administration and the fake news MAGAs are losing their mind over something that's not even true. So let me just make it clear, because this assistant attorney general, I don't know, gosh, what's her name? It's something Hammett, Dillon or whatever. So I had no affiliation to that organization. I didn't even know they were going to this church until we followed them there. We were there chronicling protests.
Liar.
Once the protest started in the church, we did an act of journalism, which was report on it and talk to the people who were involved, which included the pastor, members of the church, and members of the organization. That's it.
Oh, that's it.
It's all right. Journalism.
Let's go ahead and go to the video. Anti-ICE mob storms church in St. Paul, Minnesota, and shuts down service. I mean, should we see what this actually looks like? Should we take a look? Let's watch. God, they're still doing the hands up, don't shoot lie. It's just lie upon lie with these people. Let's go to 54 here now. There's another angle of it, another view of it.
Renee Good!
Again, just interrupting. And remember, folks, it wasn't 6 months ago that a church in Minneapolis was shot up and a bunch of kids got killed. I mean, what is this? And trust me, do you think that any of these people would be free today if this was a synagogue or if this was a mosque?
Why are you not at
I mean, if it was a mosque, they'd probably, you know,
standing for our people.
Be attacked
Where
there.
Are you?
You drink your coffee.
If it was a synagogue, they'd have the door kicked in this afternoon.
But what do you
if
do?
It was
an
abortion clinic, every one of these people would be arrested by now. As far as I know, as far as I've heard, not a single arrest so far. They're looking into it. I mean, look at that. All right, pause it. Go back. Rewind. About 10 seconds. Go back. I want you to look at this kid. Right there. Do you see this on the bottom left? It's a couple. And the kid is crying. And either the older brother or the dad is like cradling his head in his hands. And you want to know the sickest part of this? Is that Don Lemon, after this occurred, after he participated in this, goes on to celebrate the fact that they just traumatized children. And are going, oh, those kids are traumatized. That's the point of this. That's why we're doing this. I bet it was pretty terrifying to be a little kid in church when a bunch of people start storming in and screaming, especially if you're at all aware of church attacks in the recent past, of which there have been a lot. Of course, church groups are never given security bonuses. Church groups are never given, you know, extra security by the government. Synagogues are, mosques are, churches aren't, even though churches are the ones that are attacked most regularly. And this is in flagrant violation of the FACE Act. And here's kind of the interesting part of this, the FACE Act. And I've explained this before. Remember, they wanted the FACE Act to basically criminalize protesting abortion clinics. That was the point of the FACE Act. And in order to get it passed, they had to basically give some credence to the right wing's demands where they go, all right, if you're going to do the FACE Act for abortion clinics, we also want it for right wing organizations or religious organizations. And so the Democrats agreed to that, probably not really thinking that it'd ever be enforced that way. It has been enforced for abortion. It has been enforced for abortion clinics. And in fact, let's go to clip number 5 here. Because what you just saw is, this right here is what they did to innocent people who are at church just trying to express their First Amendment right to religion when these assholes, pardon my language, come storming in to deliberately inflict terror on their children for political ends. That's the dictionary definition of terrorism, by the way. Nobody there has been arrested. Clip number five. Let's go and play this. These are the people that were arrested and sent to jail by Joe Biden under the FACE Act. These people are sitting in a hallway outside of an abortion clinic. They're the pro-life Christians that were later hauled out of their home at 2 a.m. with assault rifles aimed at them and their children and their pregnant spouses as they're sent to jail for over a year. This is what they did. Sitting down, singing hymns in a hall. These people were arrested. They were sent to jail. They were tried. They were convicted on the FACE Act. The next thing we should hear from the Trump administration is that a successful raid has been carried out, that these people are now in custody, they're facing federal charges, and that they're going to jail. I don't want to hear them saying they're working on that. I don't want to hear them saying they're investigating that. I don't want to hear them saying they're reaching out to their partners in the local. We need these people arrested. Correction. You need these people arrested. The establishment needs to arrest these people for their own sake. Because here's the thing. There is no arguing that Don Lemon did not violate the FACE Act. There is no question about any of this. This is not something where, like, guilt or innocence has to be proved. He's guilty. 100%. So, like, ideally, and for the sake of the establishment, they should arrest him. They should charge him. They should imprison him. So we don't have to. But we do not have to sit by and be victims to violence. We do not have to allow scumbags like this to break the law with impunity and then flaunt it in our faces and then do it again and again and again. And I really have to wonder, do you remember 2 years ago or so, Kamala Harris had this big thing she was doing. She was all celebrating and excited about an anti-lynching bill. And at the time it was like, what the hell? Nobody's been lynched in 50 years, lady. What the hell are you talking about? It's not a thing. Why would you need a law against something that doesn't exist? Maybe it was for stuff like this. Maybe this was all part of this plan. To go, hey, we're going to basically soft launch a communist revolution. We're going to have a lot of our people out there breaking laws right out in the open. But we're not going to punish them. We're not going to do anything about it. We're not going to intercede. So let's make sure nobody else gets to either. Because again, I mean, it's unlawful what just happened. We do not have to sit here and take it. And I think that the next step has to be something like the Oath Keepers or Proud Boys showing up. Because right now the local authorities are genuinely incapable or unwilling to protect innocent citizens who have nothing to do with anything. That 8-year-old kid isn't in ICE. Nobody in that is in ICE. Whoever paid for, coordinated, or participated in this attack made a big, big mistake. No worshipers in this country should ever feel intimidated in the house of God. And the Justice Department will bring the full force of the laws directed by Pam Bondi. I'll believe it when I see it. I'll believe it when I see it. And I'll get to some videos because here's the thing. If you're an Israeli in this country, it must be amazing. There's none of this like, why isn't anybody doing anything? And I'll show you the videos of Pam Bondi over the weekend bragging about how, you know, some girl cursed at an Israeli at a university in Florida. So now she's been arrested and the investigation was launched and they forced the school to pay millions of dollars to Jewish groups for allowing this outrage to exist. Literally nothing happened. Dude wearing an IDF shirt got called a name. Nothing happened. But the whole force of the government, they didn't need to be prodded. They didn't need to be cajoled. They knew the instant it happened. Boom, they were on the case within that day. There were, you know, demands being made. She was arrested like a week later. It happened like this. Now we've got our guys being stabbed, being assaulted, having their phones stolen, churches being raided. Now I understand. It's, you know, this is nothing compared to an Israeli being made to feel uncomfortable for a few minutes. But, you know, hopefully they can treat it with the same seriousness and the same resolve and the same outrage. I doubt it, though. So we'll show you those videos. But just to illustrate what I'm saying, I'm not just like saying this stuff. We got a video from Don Lemon interviewing Keith Ellison, who was there encouraging all of this to go on and actually like telling everybody he's going to cover for them. Again, it's not that complicated. The people that run Minneapolis, people that run Minnesota, were caught stealing billions upon billions upon billions of dollars in collaboration with the Somali immigrants that were dropped there by Obama for this exact purpose, exchanging votes for cash, and cash that would be funding illegitimate, fraudulent welfare cases would be funneled back into the campaign system so they could do this all again. They got caught. They're being exposed. And their answer is to start a revolution, ignite a civil war, and encourage mobs of tyrannical, insane people to go attack innocent people on their behalf. And they're doing this in a way that is criminal on the face of it. So I'll also show you on the other side. We've got videos of one of the guys leading the church siege was arrested on Friday. Released again, now participating in this raid on a church. He was also, allegedly, apparently, from video that we have, in D.C. protesting the deployment of the National Guard there just like 2 weeks ago. So this is a professional protester who is traveling around the country, leading, in some cases, violent protests against the federal government. And when he goes too far and commits violence, or for some other reason, does something so egregious that he gets arrested, he's let out literally the next day to do it all over again and to brag about how he gets away with it. And then you've got the authorities in Minneapolis, Minnesota, giving interviews where they're saying, yeah, you're our soldier. Go out there and do it, and we got your back. And that doesn't even get in to the giant web, the network of NGOs that are providing lawyers for these people and collaborating with not just the local authorities to get them off the crimes, but the local media and the national media and the international media to tell the story and frame the events in a way that allows them to carry on the fraud regardless. That's what's happening. That's the totality of the situation that's going on. It's not about immigration. It's not about, you know, due process. It's not about protecting American citizens. It's a corrupt criminal government starting a civil war so they don't have to be held to account for stealing billions upon billions of dollars in welfare. I mean, that's what's happening here. And there's Keith Ellison, AG of Minnesota, talking to, giving an interview with, collaborating with one of the domestic terrorists that stormed into a church for the purpose of creating fear and terror and trauma in the minds of the innocent people that were trying to attend church. We'll get back to that on the other side. I do want to remind you folks, or actually tell you for the first time, that we have extended our free hat deal to midnight tonight. So you get a limited edition, never before sold InfoWars hat, no minimum spend. It's a $30 deal. I mean, this hat could easily be sold for $30, but you get it for free with any purchase. Ends tonight at midnight. Go now, thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison. If you want to let them know who sent you, we'll get back to Don Lemon on the other side.
Something feels wrong. There is a disturbance in the force. Someone is awake past their curfew. I sense unauthorized viewing. If they are watching what I think they're watching, they will be held to pay. You are watching Alex Jones on the Death Star.
Lord Vader, it's not what it looks like.
Dew is here. I must find him before it's too late.
Did you hear something?
This place holds many secrets, and I am here to uncover them.
No way, I'm not getting involved with that. I feel the power surging through me. The Force is stronger than ever. Yes, Rob, yes. This is the ultimate power.
Sold out to it. They're blind to their cowards. You don't want to be part of them. Like Patrick Henry says, forget you are our brethren. Go from us in peace. Crouch down and lick the hand that feeds you. Let your chains sit lightly upon you. As for me, give me liberty or give me death.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. A new world order. A new world order. A new world order. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
I'm your host, Harrison Smith. Let's continue. Let's continue to investigate the event that occurred yesterday. Washington Times has a story. Justice Department investigates shameful anti-ICE protest that upended Minnesota church service. Attorney General Harmeet Dillon said the two prosecutors from the Civil Rights Division are headed to Minneapolis to join the FBI team and local prosecutors looking into whether the protest violated federal law, calling it a heinous act. I'll tell you what. We just showed you the videos. You can compare for yourself. And I'll say that if sitting in the hallway of an abortion clinic and quietly singing hymns with children violates the FACE Act, then I certainly would think that storming into a church service and shutting it down and making children cry and then bragging about it probably also violates the FACE Act. I don't think I ever got to that point that I was making in the last act, that the last segment here, that the FACE Act was only passed because they allowed the Republicans to do sort of a quid pro quo and say, all right, if you're going to ban protest in front of abortion clinics, you better include pro-life pregnancy centers and churches as well. So they've sort of been hoisted by their own petard here. They didn't think that this would ever probably come into fruition, come into, you know, be engaged in this way, but it absolutely should be. And by the way, the Trump administration is no stranger to the FACE Act. They've charged people under the FACE Act for things like protesting synagogues. So again, if this isn't done, that's pretty, you know, clear signal to the rest of America about where the priorities of the Trump administration lie. Several dozen protesters affiliated with the Racial Justice Network and other activist groups poured into the city's church sanctuary, chanting slogans such as "Out ICE." They brought services to a halt and refused requests by church leaders to leave, as shown in a video posted by former CNN anchor Don Lemon. "I mean, this is unacceptable. This is shameful," lead pastor Jonathan Parnell told Mr. Lemon as activists shouted in the background. "It's shameful to interrupt a public gathering of Christians at worship." Mr. Lemon, who now hosts a podcast, a very unsuccessful podcast, I might add, countered that, quote, "There's a constitution and a First Amendment to protect freedom of speech and freedom to assemble and protest," although he didn't mention that the First Amendment also protects freedom to worship. He doesn't care. This guy didn't like the First Amendment. He just sees it as a useful weapon against us. Like, that's really what we should all understand this by now. They don't believe in any of this stuff. And it sucks, but it's like, anyway, we'll, I don't want to get too distracted because I want to stick with this topic. But I will just say that we can't let these people use the brilliance of our Constitution against us, right? The First Amendment was not so that a bunch of idiot, insurrectionist, highly paid professional activists could go terrorize children in church. And if you think that that's what the First Amendment's about, you're lying. Obviously, that's not what it was made for. And, you know, these people don't actually care about it. They're bending it until it breaks, essentially. And in a way, I'm almost like, maybe we should just be the ones to do away with it. Because, I mean, I guess our options at this point are allow them to use this stuff against us, act out in this way that is just totally unacceptable and damaging and revolutionary and insurrectionist because they claim First Amendment. And they get to succeed, and then they'll just actually eliminate the First Amendment in a very real way. And then it'll never come back, because then they'll be in charge, and they genuinely don't like the First Amendment, don't want it, aren't going to support it. It's almost like, shouldn't the people who actually genuinely love and appreciate our values, shouldn't we be the ones in charge? If we have to sacrifice those values, isn't that better than them being permanently eradicated when these people get in charge? I don't know. It's just we can't let our country be stolen by people who do not give a damn about our Constitution but will use it as a weapon against us. That can't be allowed to happen. So we got to do something about that. But let's go to some of these videos. Let's go to that video of first Don Lemon, you know, celebrating this, talking about this was actually the reason that they did this, the reason that they carried out this attack on the church was to traumatize people. And that's what it's all about. Let's go to that video. The one you were just playing, let's go to clip 41 here.
You heard what some of the folks said in there, you know, that this is, they shouldn't be there and, you know, they shouldn't be uncomfortable and this is our house and whatever. That's what protesting is about, is to make people uncomfortable. You may not like it, but I mean, if they went into a church, you know, any church.
And let's see him talking to Keith Ellison here. This is the AG who was caught on a hidden, you know, secret recording. This man, the attorney general, was caught verbatim negotiating with the scammers and saying that if he got their support, then he would fight back against the regulators that were trying to bust the fraud. He is on camera saying that. We have him in his own words collaborating knowingly with the scammers. Still the AG. And now he's actively encouraging the protesters to go get in the face of ICE and do all this other stuff that's causing all this chaos. I mean, this is an insurrection cut and dry. Let's watch.
The state has every right to investigate this matter and prosecute this matter. The state has every right. And, you know, as a prosecutor, I'm not really allowed to make conclusory statements before the investigation's completed. But I do want to make it clear that there is absolutely no legal barrier to the state taking action in this matter.
Yeah. So, but they're not sharing any information with you?
Well, but there's still a lot of information to be gathered, right? And the Minnesota Department of Bureau of Criminal Apprehension is accepting and cataloging evidence all the time. There's lots of evidence, and there's lots of people who saw what happened. And so, you know, and then here's the other thing. I was watching TV this morning, and I saw, you know, Deputy Assistant Attorney General, number two at DOJ, say that they're not investigating. So here's a question. If the DOJ civil rights has declined the case already before they investigated it, how can they justify not handing it over to the state? Mm-hmm. They're not doing anything with it. Six assistant U.S. attorneys here have quit because they were told you could investigate Becca Good, but we're not looking into the death of Renee Good. So that's quite extraordinary as well. So people are quitting over this. Mm-hmm. So the federal government is going to have a tough time explaining and justifying why they won't release the physical evidence to the state, but they have also declined the case. It won't move on it.
Because the state is in a condition of insurrection. And you people are trying to criminalize federal law enforcement's dutiful activity. Obviously, you absolute scumbags. Again, it's like they think they're tricking us. It's like these absolute partisan hacks who will flagrantly violate, bend, ignore the rules when they're inconvenient. That they're like, but why don't you give it to us and we'll see if it's proper to prosecute. And when we say no, they're like, what? Well, why? Isn't that bad? It's like, do you think you're fooling us? Do you think we have to play along with this little charade that you're putting on? You're actively encouraging the violence and the chaos right now. Violence and chaos that is apparently so overwhelming your, you know, local systems that you have no choice but to allow the riots and the mobs that you inspired, that you called for, to commit violence against right-wingers with impunity. I mean, why is Minnesota not in a state of lockdown right now? Like, why is it not under martial law? It genuinely should be. Is somebody going to have to die? Who do you think it's going to be? And even then, do you think they're even going to do anything then? I mean, do you think if one of the independent reporters, instead of just being beaten severely, is killed, do you think then we'd get the Trump administration doing anything? Or do we get more talk? I don't know. I really don't know if somebody dying would even be enough for them to come out. Because again, it's not just Keith Ellison, collaborator with the scammers, that are encouraging people to go out and do this. And again, creating a dangerous situation. I remember we went over it when it first happened. But again, put this in the context of something like January 6th. Which only happened for a few hours. Like, this has been going on for a week now. And at every instance, the local authorities have thrown gasoline on the fire. They've done everything they possibly can to create a more dangerous, more, you know, able to be ignited firestorm every chance they get. None of them have said, respect ICE. None of them have said, you have a right to protest, but do so respectfully and stay out of the way. In every instance, they're goading them on. They tried to charge Donald Trump with insurrection when a couple people wandered through the Capitol and he explicitly told them to go home and to be peaceful. Meanwhile, we have people actively carrying out an open insurrection, and you have the local authorities encouraging them at every chance and then creating the conditions that make it impossible for anybody to respond. Let's first go to clip 29 here. This is Governor Tim Walz, sort of previewing the attack this weekend by mentioning churches as a target. Let's watch.
So I would fully expect, and we are preparing for, an influx of more agents, more of the very visible public theatrics of the raids, of the harassments. And you got faith leaders here. I would not put it past this administration to target midnight mass services amongst folks going to worship. Because that's who they are.
Oh, that's who they are. They're just so evil. I mean, who could imagine people disrupting a church service? That's just the type of thing that the nice that the ICE Nazis would do, right? Not saying anything about when it's the other way. And you know, this is just one of these things. I guess we have to get used to it. That literally everything. It's cartoonish at this point. Oh, Nazis so evil. ICE is so evil. They're such Nazis. They're going to, you know, Nicki Minaj going off. Don, cocksucking lemon is disgusting. How dare you? I want that thug in jail. He would never do that to any other religion. Lock him up. You tell him, Nicki. Let him know. Anyway, they've created the conditions for chaos. Conditions that are basically overwhelming the local police. Again, deliberately. Tim Walz and Keith Ellison and others, to Jacob Fry, the mayor, again, all in on it, all played instrumental roles in creating these scams in the first place, the fraud in the first place. Ilhan Omar is in this as well. All benefited massive from it. Some of them are on secret recording, like old Keith Ellison, admitting that they're cooperating with them. They are now telling their people to go confront ICE, to go confront everybody. And again, it's like, oh, they're going to go to churches. And then the protesters storm a church. They're demanding that citizens show their papers. And then the protesters are setting up roadblocks and demanding people identify themselves and are targeting people that aren't ICE just because of how they look. Oh, it's a white guy that's over 6 feet tall. He must be ICE. Let's go harass him. Knowing full well that they can, I mean, it's the I'm not touching you game, but with like deadly stakes. Where they can go up to a random person who's not bothering anybody, some random, you know, construction worker that's walking down the street listening to his headphones, but he happens to be a white guy, and they start confronting him and annoying him and asking him questions and pestering him. He's done nothing to anybody, and they're going to bother him and assault him until he responds. And the moment he responds, you know the police are going to arrest him and throw him in prison. They know, like, they're doing this on purpose, and they can only do this because they have the authorities on their side. Because they're able to commit crimes with impunity, and that's being expressed to them and conveyed to them by their own local authorities, who are then fulfilling the promises. Not to mention the NGO networks paying millions of dollars to lawyers to fund the arguments to get these people out. But let's go to clip 17 here. This is the Minneapolis police chief, Brian O'Hara, talking about how his 911 service is being overwhelmed by people calling ICE because the authorities in Minnesota told people to call 911 if they see ICE. They instructed their people to deliberately overwhelm the 911 system, so the people who actually need 911, actually need emergency services, are actually being attacked, are unable to get help. Okay, like, You might think I'm like going too far when I'm like, you know, maybe we need to suspend the Constitution for a little bit. Maybe we need martial law here for a little bit. But like, here's what I want to know. If you're a resident of Minnesota, you're a resident of Minneapolis, and your child chokes on a toy and is dying in front of you, turning blue, and you're getting a hold signal on 911, what would you want to happen then? Would that seem like such a crazy idea? To have federal law enforcement come in and bring some calm to the chaos? Or would you be willing to let your child die? Are you willing to let people suffer because they can't get through to 911? Because these insurrectionist local politicians are deliberately creating conditions of chaos that they can take advantage of to cover up their other numerous crimes. Am I the one that's going too far? Or are we not going nearly far enough to deal with this situation? We don't even know what the consequences of this have been and are going to be. Let's go to clip 17 now.
Administration officials are adamant that this action that they are undertaking in Minneapolis right now is making this city safer.
Targeted, precise, pre-planned operations on violent offenders. That is a good thing. But I'm concerned that people in the administration don't actually understand the reality of what's happening on the street.
Chief O'Hara told us the city's 911 system is overwhelmed by complaints about immigration enforcement.
What are you seeing?
seeing multiple calls of people who have been subjected to tear gas, pepper spray.
No, we need more water.
At least one case, a person was removed from a vehicle and the car wasn't even placed in park and it was rolling down the roadway.
It's just awful. It's just horrible. People are calling 911 because they're attacking the cops and then getting pepper sprayed. Minneapolis police chief fears possible moment where it all explodes as ICE operations continue. ICE operations have always occurred like this. The only difference between them being carried out quietly, effectively, efficiently 10 years ago and the chaos that's happening now, the only difference is the local authorities and the way the media is treating it. That's all. Nothing that Trump is doing is new. Nothing he's doing is unprecedented. Nothing he's doing is out of the ordinary. He's doing it, frankly, in a way that is less efficient than Barack Obama. And we showed the video from last week. We showed the video from back in 2016 where CBS News, I think it was, or CNN, did a ride along with ICE and presented it totally normal, right? Identified the wrong guy at first. The guy's got a brother that looks just like him. So they checked his ID, realized they had the wrong person, let that guy go, and got the real guy. But they're telling it with empathy for the ICE agents. Man, it must be tough. You're going out at 3 a.m, ice cold, going up against some of the most hardened, violent criminals the world has ever seen. It's a pretty tough job you got there, but these are convicted criminals that are evading the law, and there's a necessary law enforcement activity. The exact same thing is happening now. The way it's being talked about is entirely different. The way it's being portrayed and being expressed to people is different. The way the local politicians are not cooperating, that is the difference. That is the big change. That's the only reason any of this is happening. And if they instead allowed the local police to hand over criminals for deportation that have deportation orders, none of this would be happening. I know this is obvious. But you got to get to the fundamentals. You got to ask your liberal friends who think that what Trump is doing is so crazy, ask them what Trump is doing that's different. That's what I want you to do. That's your homework for today, is talk to a liberal, talk to somebody who thinks that what Trump is doing is inhumane, that doesn't like it, it's getting cold feet about the whole deportation thing. Ask them, what is Trump doing now that's different than what was done before? The answer is nothing. Trump has not changed tactics. Trump has not. I mean, if anything, he hired a few more people. Nothing in the tactics has changed. Nothing in the law has changed. Nothing in the behavior of ICE has changed. Talk to your liberal friends. I guarantee you they think something has changed. They think that what Trump is doing now is somehow totally out of the ordinary, that this has never happened before, but Trump decided he hates brown people, so he's sending ICE out. Just ask them, how is this different from when Barack Obama or George W. Bush or Bill Clinton got people out of the country? It's exactly the same. Maybe that could break through. I doubt it, but could be. Let's go to this video. We never actually played the audio. Let's go to the video of Don Lemon here as the children that he's made cry are fleeing their house of worship. Let's see what he has to say.
Watch this guy here, look, he's hugging his kid. I've imagined it's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here. But again, careful, it's very slippery right here.
Yeah.
It's uncomfortable and traumatic for the people here, but that's what really, careful, please, really slippery. Not kidding. That's what protesting is about. And so
that's what protesting is about. I think it's in the Bill of Rights, isn't it? The freedom to cause terror to unrelenting children. I mean, that's what protesting is all about. You have an absolute, inalienable right to petition the government for redress of grievances and to attack white Christian people to make their children cry, right? That's what it's all about. That's what protesting, that's what terrorism is about, you absolute moron. You gay idiot. What the hell is wrong with you? So he makes a video before they go into the church about how they're about to go into the church. Then they make the video in the church where they're showing children crying and being asked to leave and refusing to do so. Then they're outside the church filming the fathers hugging their children and saying, yeah, well, creating trauma in the minds of children is what this is all about. And then he makes videos saying, I had no idea that we were going to a church. I have nothing to do with this group. And it's ridiculous and entitled to act like I've committed some, broken some law. If Don Lemon isn't arrested for this, finish it however you want. He has to be arrested for this. I mean, if he's allowed to get away with this, that's crazy. That is crazy. I don't think he should be allowed to get away with it. And I would love if the government would be the one to punish him. But that's one option. But that's one option. Clip number 27 here. As again, we see the police so concerned about the vicious ICE agents, protecting themselves from violent rioters, and those violent rioters then calling the cops on themselves, I guess, to the point that the 911 system is being overwhelmed and people who really need help aren't getting it. Again, not speculation, not a potential. This has probably already happened. I mean, I guarantee you there's at least one person in Minneapolis, Minnesota that's had their life permanently made worse because they could not get the emergency services that they needed because of these protests. People think that's worth it, apparently. Let's go to clip 27 here. Minneapolis police just told Nick Sartor to get lost after Somalis attacked him and stole his camera and then dragged him on a sidewalk from a car. Let's watch.
Looking for the car, but you guys got to do us a favor and stay out of this area. All right? We don't want anything else escalating to this point again. We got a lot of reports.
Well, we just don't.
I understand.
We get attacked and assaulted. By the way, they tried to steal my camera earlier, and we're the ones told to leave.
I'm not justifying what they did, but we're trying to keep the peace at the end of the day. And bottom line is, you guys obviously aren't from the area.
But it's like if I'm a woman and I get raped for wearing tight jeans, and it's like, well, you shouldn't have been there. We're being told to leave when we're the ones who got attacked. I mean, it's like.
Yeah, it's actually exactly like that. I mean, that's sort of a common refrain, right? Like, oh, she's asking for it. She wore a short skirt, so it's her fault she got raped. I mean, they're literally saying, you were attacked, you were robbed, you were assaulted, and it's your fault for existing. It's your fault for being here. Maybe you should leave, because we're trying to keep the peace. You don't make the violent people who assaulted innocent people leave. You make the innocent people leave because their presence is the crime. The violence must be a reasonable response to the crime of their existence. More on the other side, folks. Don't go anywhere. Third hour.
I reckon a lot of you know I've been on the air for a long time, and we've done quite a few things here. And I've had a lot of different ways that I tried to continue on our mission. So I want to tell you about a Beggin' right here. This is a limited edition knife. We just came out with it a couple days ago. And, well, some people call it a sling blade. I call it a Kaiser blade. But you need something to take care of yourself or your family and protect you. I think this will do it. It's an important remake. Updated World War II trench knife, double-edged stainless steel, razor sharp. Life is fiery with its beauty. It's got a nice little pin-up girl there right there on it. Mm-hmm. So I reckon this is just about as good as you're going to get is some fried taters and biscuits and mustard. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get one of these before they sell out with the murdered out brass knuckles and skull crusher, mm-hmm. Then I reckon you better get on over to thealexjonesstore.com while the getting's good. And I appreciate you keeping us on the air in our mission. Mm-hmm. I call it a Kaiser blade. And it's a limited edition right now. Mm-hmm. But all I know is the globalists shouldn't have done what they did to that boy. What Epstein did. So all I can say is they're going to have the Lord to deal with, but limited edition, almost sold out. I just know you want this knife. It's selling out quick. TheAlexJonesStore.com. And I thank you for your support.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.